Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Ivan. Well, children, you can go to Children's Church if you're here. Okay, let's come to my PowerPoint. We come to another value of Grace City Church, the value of excellence. When I look at this word excellence, I tell myself, the right person that should preach this topic would be Pastor Aaron. He has just been awarded the Professional Excellent Award from the Bible School. Oh. We have a scholar among us. So this word excellent, it seems to be a very big word. But let me ask you, does excellence matter to God? Does God cares about quality? All he wants is quantity. Is he concerned about how things are done, whether they are done well or they are done half-hearted? I mean, this Sunday morning, what a wonderful time of praise and worship that we have. Does it make a difference to God if the instrument are tuned or not tuned? Could you imagine if the guitar was out of tune, the drum was out of tune, everything was out of tune? Does it make a difference to God whether the worship team rehearsed a song before the service? How about the F&B? Does it matter to God if the place is tidy and clean? Or the children's church teacher, does it matter to God that they prepare themselves before teaching the children? On a Sunday morning, the first place of entry is a door. Does it matter to God whether the welcome team is here on time and giving those who come a welcoming smile? Does it matter to God? Some of you may say, they are not important. What God cares about is what? The heart. The heart. This is what really counts. Whether you plan your program well or you put much effort into it, it does not matter to God, because what God cares about is love, compassion, humility. My answer to you is only partly true. Yes, God is concerned with the heart. But how we do things express what? Express the heart. Have you ever heard someone put this remark? Put some heart into your work. How many of you heard that before? Put some heart into your work. The way we serve God in the church, at home, in the workplace, how we live out our faith, our hope, and our love, the level of effort we put into doing God's word, review what is in our heart. It is not just things or work themselves that God cares about. It's what does he say about what? What does he say about our heart when we do them? The call for excellence is not in the world alone. It's also a call to all believers, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are called, empowered by his Spirit, to excel in being the best. What does it mean to being the best? To excel by being the best. That means inward character. God wants us to be the best. And to excel in doing the best. Being and doing. What does it mean? It means how we behave and the good work that we do speaks about what? About the heart. Let me look at some scripture with you that call us to excellence. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever you do, do what? Do well. Not do half done. Do well. Why is that so? For when you go to the grave, and everybody will go to the grave one day, there will be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. Whatever you want to do, you already have the opportunity to do when you're on where? On earth. And so the Bible says, whatever you do, do well. If you study, study well. And if you are cooking at home, cook a good meal, say amen. Amen. If you are working, work the best. Because whatever you do, that's what the Bible says. Whether it's at home, at the workplace, or in the church, do what? Do well. Give your best. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7? But as you excel in everything, Paul say that you excel in everything. That means whether it's in deed, in words, in character, in whatever you do. Paul say, I can see you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all eagerness and in love from us that is in you. Make sure that you excel in the act of what? Kindness too. That means we can excel in some area and not so good in what? In another area. And Paul said that you excel in so many things, but make sure you also excel in what? Kindness. The act of kindness. I think the world will become a better place if everybody will be a little bit more kind. What do you think? Then he say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, finally, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you, as you receive from us instruction unto how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. So what does it mean? It means when you come to the word excellent, and you come to the word excel, there is no limitation. We have not reached, say amen. We are all growing. We can all learn. We can all become better. So Paul says, excel still more. So the scripture clearly tells us that excellence matters to God. If you look in the Bible perspective, excellence is the pursuit of what? It's the pursuit of Christ's likeness. Each time when you pursue to become Christ-like, to become more like Jesus, the more what? The more excellent you become. Sadly, the church can pursue excellence with the spirit of the world and the spirit of this age. God calls us to pursue excellence, to achieve it, and to be done in only one way, not like the world, but to do it in the way of Christ likeness. The word excellent is a big word. It can be easily misunderstood and misused word, especially in a world that is so competitive. You go to McDonald's, you go to the corporate world, they promote excellence aggressively. Some schools promote it as one of their virtues. Churches passionately preach, promote, and practice it. Excellence can become a man-made yardstick, a yardstick of competing, comparing, and conforming. No. This is what excellence is about. Excellence is about greatness. What does it mean? The very best. It means being the very best, giving your very best, and doing your very best. That's what excellence is about. Everything you are, you do, and you become is all for only one purpose. Not for self-praise, not for man-praise, not to please men. It's only for one purpose. To the glory of God. This is what the Bible says. whether you eat or drink or sleep, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So when you become excellent, when you become more like Jesus Christ in character, in word, and in speech, you are doing it for only one purpose, for the glory of God. Excellent is not a corporate idea or a man idea. It is firstly God's idea. Excellence begins with God. Whatever God does, He does it with excellence. In Genesis 1, in creation, it was good was used 7 times. It was good, it was good. When God saw the light, it was good. When God makes a plan, it was good. When God divided the day and night, it was good. Everything God created, you know, the living creature on the land, on the sea, and the air, it was good. Everything God made was what? Very good in verse 31. The Hebrew word for good is excellent. This is what God is. Whatever He do is good. Whatever He does is excellent. God does not do anything half-hearted. Now, when you know that God is excellent in everything that He does, you can have this confidence that you can put your life in His hands. Say amen. That you can trust Him because He does everything good. And yet the Bible tells us, because God is excellent, everything He does is excellent, we are created in whose image? We are created in God's image. And therefore He called us to be excellent. By what? By the excellent power dwelling and empowering in us and through us. In us live God, Jesus Christ. He's the excellent one. Therefore He is living in us and through us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. Now we have this light, Jesus, shining in our heart. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jar. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I mean, sometimes you look at yourself, I don't have everything in place. I don't think I'm perfect. I think I have a lot of holes. How many realize that? I have a lot of fault and this and that. And yet the Bible said that in us is this light. Who is this light? It's Jesus Christ. He is the God of excellence. He lives in us. He contained in this fragile clay, this incomplete person. And the Bible says that this clay jar contained His great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power, the excellence of the power, the ability to be excellent, the ability to be Christ-like, the ability to do what Jesus do, to walk the way He walked, that ability is not from ourselves. Say amen. The scriptures say it is from what? From God. It's time we see who lives in us and start to live the way He wants us to live, by Him empowering us to be who He called us to be and to do. So this morning, in speaking on excellence, I want to use a parable found in Luke chapter 19, verse 11 to verse 27. And we're going to read that passage. Luke chapter 19, reading from verse 11. The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. And because He was nearing Jerusalem, He told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. He said, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I am gone. But his people hated him and sent a dedication after him to say, we do not want him to be our king. After he was crowned king, he returned and called in the servant to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profit were. The first servant replied, Master, I invest your money and make 10 times the original amount. Well done, the master exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with little, I entrust to you. So you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward. The next servant reported, Master, I invest your money and make 5 times the original amount. Well done, the king said. You will be governor over 5 cities. But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, Master, I hide your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what is not yours and harvesting crop that you did not plant. And this is what the master replied. You wicked servant, the king roared. On your own very words, condemn you. If you knew that I am a hard man who take what I did not, it's not mine, and harvest crop I did not plant, why didn't you invest my money in the bank? At least I would have got some interest on it. Especially today, interest is quite good. No? Then turning to the other standing nearby, the king ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, he already have 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And as for this enemy of mine, who do not want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them here in front of me. So this is a parable that Jesus talked about. I mean, sometimes it's called the parable of the 10 king servant or the parable of the pound. But I want you to know that this parable that Jesus just spoke to the crowd was not just a parable. It was an actual happening in the history of the Jewish people. History tells us that after the death of Herod the Great, he was the king who wants to kill baby Jesus. After he died, he divided the country into 3 parts and gave to each one of the sons. He left Judea to Archelaus, one of his sons. But he has to go to Rome to get the emperor to confirm his inheritance. The Jewish people didn't like him. He was cruel. So the Jewish people sent 50 of his citizens to Rome to stop the appointment of him. But the emperor at that time was Augustus. And he's very political. To please both sides, he make him, instead of king, he make him tetrarch and call him Herod the Tetrarch. And after his appointment, he came back to Judea. And not long after his reign, he killed 3,000 Jews. He executed 3,000 of them. Herod the Tetrarch was later relieved of his appointment because of his cruelty and the lack of control over his servant. So this is not just a parable. This is an actual happening that Jesus talked about. And this parable is different from the parable of the talent found in Matthew chapter 25. Remember the parable of the talent. The servant came to the master. He gave 1 5 talent, 1 2 talent, and one talent. And then when he came back, he checked on each one of them. The reward was the same. What was the reward? The approval and the joy of the master. So this parable is not about talent, because they were given equal amount, equal opportunity, equal responsibility, equal accountability, and they were told to occupy, to do business, to buy and sell, to invest the money, to put the money to work until he returned. And the reward were what? Different. One have 10 city, one have 5 city. It's not talent, it's not ability, it's not gift. What is the one thing in your hand that is equal for everyone? Come on, open up your hand. Open up your hand. What is the one thing? Some of us are more gifted than others. Some are more talented than others. I cannot sing like Ivan. I cannot play the drum like Robin. You know, or Rajiv or Bach. Or Tony. Oh, I enjoy watching Tony play drum. But I can't do all this thing. You know. So what is the thing that is equal for every one of us? I feel what's the one thing that is equal for every one of us that is in our hand is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This gospel is given to us, and we are not to keep it. We are to what? To share it. Our gift, talent, and ability may be different, but our job is the same. What is the job? To share the gospel, that more can become disciples of Jesus Christ. This gospel is not to be buried or kept in the napkin. It is not for safekeeping, but it is to share, that more and more will become disciples of Jesus Christ. The noble man told them to do business till I return. And he was not going to Coles or Wubo or Aldi that was very near. He was going to some place that was far. It would take a long time, a far country. But he said to them, I will surely return. And I will return unexpectedly. When you don't expect me, I will return. And when I do that, I will hold you, the 10th servant, accountable for what was given to them. So he went away. And he came back. And he came back. And when he returned, just like when our Lord Jesus Christ, when he returned, the excellent with the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to hear each one of us, to hear what the master says. Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, I entrusted to you. This is excellent. Every one of us, one day, want to hear Jesus Christ say this to us. Well done. Well done. Well done, good servant, because you are faithful in very little. So what is it to be excellent? The first key to excellent is the word well done. Well done. Not undone or half done. Not someone who started and never finished it. Or worst of all, someone who never started at all. But someone who start and not only that someone started, but he complete what was given to him or to her. This is what the Bible says about Jesus Christ in John chapter 17 verse 4. I have finished the work you have given me to do. And on the cross, Jesus said, it is what? It is finished. There are work need to be done. Say amen. I pray that you will finish the work that is given to you. The assignment that is given to you. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have finished the race. So what does it mean? It means excellence is a commitment to be your best, giving your best, doing your best, and complete the work and the assignment given to you on earth. God never asks you for what you do not have, and what you cannot do. But he does expect you to do the very best with what you got and what is given to you, because you need to be absolutely dedicated and sold out to finish the task, so that one day when you stand before Jesus Christ, he will say to you, "Well done." Come on, say the word with me. Well done. That's what you want to hear. Now, I don't know about you. One thing I know, when I meet Jesus Christ, he cannot say to me, "You did nothing. You were on your back." I know he will say to me, "You have your failures, your mistakes, your shortcoming, but you never give up and you never stop trying, and you persevered is done and done well to the best of your ability." That's what I want Jesus to say about me. How about you? There are assignments for you on earth. Make sure you finish them before you leave earth for heaven. Put your hand on the plow. Never look back. Don't look on the left. Don't look on the right. Just look forward and keep on doing your work till it is done, so that one day you will hear Jesus say to you, "Well done, Jethro. Well done, Ivan. Well done, Ling." You know, you want Jesus to say that to you, don't you? That he say, "Well done." Do not be half-hearted in your work or half done your job on earth. Because earth is the only working place for you to finish what God called you to do. The wise man Solomon said, "Whatever turned up, grab it and do it." Say amen. Not just do it. Never mind, just do it. I have to do that. No. Do it with your whole heart. This is your last and only chance at it. This is the only place that you can do, that you must do. For there is neither work to do, nor thoughts to think in the company of the dead, where you most likely suddenly hated. How many of you realize that? We all going to die. So before you die, finish your job. Say amen. Finish the job to the best of your ability. It does not matter. Your ability is different from another person, but get it done. Leave earth knowing that you have done your job, you have poured out your life. Leave earth what? Empty. Empty. Paul said, "I already been poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight." I have poured out. I have done everything I can. I have done my best. I have given my best. I have been the best. Everything. My best may not be your best, because you have a greater anointing and a greater talent and a greater opportunity and a greater ability than me. But one thing I know, whatever I am in God, I be the best. I give the best. And then he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." The graveyard in any nation is full of untapped talent. Song never composed, artwork never painted, dreams never lived. Let it not be so for God's people, say amen. Let it not be so for God's people. To hear the master say, "Well done," this is what you must be. You must be a self-starter. Some people need to be pushed in order to get things done. Be a self-starter. It needs to be done. I know what I have to do. I will get up and do it. Be a self-starter. Take the initiative. It's that step that you take that God will open the opportunity and open the door. Take the risk. Don't say it. When it is the right time, when everything is good, take the risk. And then, In order to hear the master say, well done, you need to what? Persevere. Persevere. Do whatever it takes till the work is done and done well. This is excellent. I need the master to say to me, well done. Well done. The second word for excellent is the word good servant. What did he say to the two servants? Well done, good servant. What is good? Good has to do with what? Good has to do with the heart. If the heart is good, it produces good what? Good outcome, good food. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to 35, the good man brings good things out of the good store in him. So what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the heart. If the heart is good, it will bring out what? Good things out of the heart. So for the heart to be good, God is good, say amen. But I have to keep it good by filtering out those things that are what? They are not good. Because if you don't let those things that are not good come into your heart, is going to change you, is going to affect you. The good man bring good things out of the good store in him, and the evil man bring evil thing out of the evil store up in him. So the wicked servant, he didn't call him the lazy servant. I would expect Jesus said, you lazy servant. Jesus said, you wicked servant. And that is a very strong word. The wicked servant has a wicked heart, and he spoke from his wicked heart. You wicked servant, the king roared, your own words condemns you. Then Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. So he said, by your own words you are condemned. If you knew that I'm a hard man who takes what is not mine and harvest crop I did not plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I would have got some interest in him. This morning, what is your heart saying to you? You can bluff any people. You can even bluff your spouse. You can even bluff those who are close to you. But you cannot bluff who? You cannot bluff your heart. How many realize that? Because what is in the heart will finally be revealed. How is it revealed? Jesus said, by your fruits you will know. It's neither by their action, by what they say. So the heart, the good servant has a good heart. What a challenge. Jesus calls us to be a good servant. A good servant. A good servant is not lord or boss, manipulator or controller. A good servant is one who serves like Jesus served. That is a good servant. Because Jesus took the form of servant. He lowered himself to be a servant. He washed his disciples' feet as a servant. And he prepared breakfast for his disciples as a servant, because he came to serve and not to be served. We are called to become what servant? Good servant. The good servant does not compete, does not fight, does not need to be number one. The good servant say, I am here to serve. I'm here to fulfill my calling. I'm here to be what God has called me to be and to do. Jesus called us to be what kind of servant? Good servant. Now, in the New Testament writing, Jesus talked about different servants. He talked about evil servant, unwise servant, lazy servant, wicked servant, unprofitable servant, and he even called bully servant who bully others. But he never wants us to be any of these servants. Say amen. He said, be a good servant, because I am good. Look at my life. I am excellent. And you are created in my image, you have me inside you. So be what I am, a good servant. A good servant is not a talker, a dreamer, a wisher, a complainant, but a doer of the master will. He obeyed the master command. Not only he did it well, and he finished what he's called to do. Are you the kind of a servant? Excellent. Is a good servant. Having a what? A good heart. And you have a good heart, you must keep a good heart, maintain a good heart, and guard the good heart so that you make this commitment. I will guard my heart from bitterness and live with what? Goodness. How many of you realize that bitterness can enter into us anytime? Hebrew talk about the root of bitterness. Have you ever met a bitter person? And the Bible said this, a bitter person not only kill himself, not only defile himself, a bitter person will also what? Affect who? Other people. How many of you all sitting here like bitter gourd? Put up your hand. You know the bitter gourd? Oh, I pray for you. Actually, I don't mind bitter gourd. But too much of it is not good right now. My brother-in-law has, in his garden, he grows so much bitter gourd, he give it to my wife, and she cook every day until I say, enough. Give it to Ivan. Give it to other people. Share a little bit of this bitterness. I know the worst thing about bitter gourd is that he went to plant cucumber next to bitter gourd. And I didn't know. And when I eat the cucumber, it was bitter. And I tell you, when cucumber is bitter, it's worse than what? Bitter gourd. And this is what the Bible talks about. You have to have a good heart so that bitterness does not come in. Because it's easy to get bitter. How many of you realize the world is not fair? Life is not fair. You can become bitter. This week, set your heart and mind to do your assignment. Do it. Do it. Share the good news to others and obey his command. Because he will surely come. And when he does, what will he call you? Good servant? Or wicked servant, or foolish servant. The last part, the last word for excellent is faithful in little. The normal man trusts his servant, and he believes in them, and he gives them gift, little or much. The responsibility for them to do was to use what was given to them, so that when he returned, he would see a return of his investment. And when he returned, everyone had to personally give an account for what they did with what was placed in their hand. I'm telling you, one day when I stand before God, I don't have to answer for you. I answer for what I did with my life. So you. And I cannot say to God, the reason I didn't do much was because of this person, because of that person. This, and that. No, no, no. When I stand before God, is God, what have you given to me and what I have done? And it's possible for us to look at what is in our hand and say, it is not enough. How many of you realize that? The grass is always greener on the other side. Hey, how come the guy got more than me? How come the guy can sing so well? I can't. I sing out, you know, Jesus! Everybody run away. Why? So it's not a question of how much deep the other person has. It's a question is of what God has placed in your hand. And you are called to be faithful. Faithful. You can only be two things. The faithful servant or the what? The unfaithful servant. So the nobleman commanded the 10 servant with four straightforward words. Four actual words and four powerful words. And they don't need to have a degree. They don't need to be rocket scientists to understand these four simple words. What is the four simple word? Occupy till I come. Come on, say it with me. Occupy till I come. Some people say, God, you say occupy till I come. I'm very occupied, God. I'm occupied with my own things. Come here, right? No. What was God's, the mass normal man tell him? This 10 servant, occupy with what I have what? Placed in your hand. Occupy is a word of diligent action. It's from the root word meaning to walk, to set in motion, and to continue in motion. That means if I'm occupied, not only I take the first step, I continue to take step by step and get the work what? Get the work done. Complete the work. Complete my assignment. The faithful servant labor diligently, never play up, but use all that the Lord has given him to look after. But not the unfaithful servant. He has no vision for what will be done, no sense of responsibility, no concern for kingdom growth. Do enough. Not good, not enough to do anything. There was a sense of false security, believing that the master would accept, the master would understand him if he didn't do anything. Just like, she be right. That's mine. God is so good. God is love. I just don't have to care about it. So he forgot. When the master returned, the master is looking at ROI, return of investment. What I've given you, the talent I've given you, the ability I've given you, the gospel I've given you, the air that is on loan to you. How many realize that every breath is a loan? Come on, every breath is a loan. I don't know about you, but when you reach the age of brother hoping, every time he say, "Oh, Pastor Stewart, every day is a gift of God." Do you have to reach 80 to feel every day is a gift of God? Every day is a loan. Every breath is a loan from God. So, your life is an investment. What will you return to God? Excellence is being faithful in little things. Little opportunity, little gift, little ability, little finance. And when you are faithful, see how it grows and increase and multiply. Because God is a God of multiplication and increase. But be faithful with the little you have. Because our eyes is always looking at who, what other people have. Look at what you have. And believe that God can grow it. So, be faithful to stay at your divine appointed house. This is where God has placed you. Be faithful. Finish your assignment. Make this commitment. I will be faithful and courageous to continue my assignment and stay where God has planted me. The workplace that God has placed you is your assignment. Till you hear from God, it is time to move. Don't try to move yourself. And do your work till it is done and done well. Faithful in little things. Say with me. Say this with me. I will be faithful to God. Come on. I will be faithful in little things. I will be faithful to my spouse. Some of you maybe cannot say it, but never mind. I will be faithful to my family. I will be faithful to my employer. I'm telling you, if your employer knows you're a Christian, make sure you behave like a Christian. Give your very best. Don't put the name of God in shame. I always believe, wherever you are, give your very best, do your very best, be your very best. You know, the day I migrated to Australia, I came here on the 1st of January 1986. I worked till 5 p.m. 31st of December 1985. Till the very last, I told my employer, I'm going back, pack my bag, I'm flying to Perth. I know, I'm not asking you to be like me. I'm saying whatever you do, be your best for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Because when I meet Jesus Christ, I want Him to say to me, "Well done, good servant, faithful in little. Anything less is not excellence." In this story, in this parable, we are living between verse 12. The nobleman went to a distant country, and verse 15, he came back. Our master, our Lord, is away. But He will return as He promised. My question to you, when He returned, while you are waiting for His return, are you occupied with His work? Are you occupied with His assignment? Because when He comes, what will He say to you? Come on, let me get a musician. I haven't sing the song "I Believe." Would you stand up with me? We need a Christianity today that unapologizing, not afraid to say, "I believe. This is what I believe." Because how you believe will dictate how you are. You live. If you believe that the Master have assigned you with an assignment, if you believe that the Master will return one day, that I would have to stand before Him, and what will He say to me? If I believe, how would I live my life? See, it all has to do. Because right now, in the Western Christianity, I believe has been watered down. I believe somehow is put in the back seat. But the early church, sing this as a confession of their faith, that they believe in God. And because they believe, they were passionate, living the life that Christ wants them to live. I encourage you, this morning, you hear the word. What is excellent? Is to be your best. Give your best, do your best, of what? For the glory of God. And why? Because excellence, in Bible perspective, is the pursuit of who? Pursuit of Christ's likeness. To be like Him. He is good, He is excellent. The more I become like Him, in words, in deeds, in thoughts, in my life, the more excellent I become. Jesus. I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is three in one.
I believe in the resurrection.
In the name of Jesus. been spoken. How many of you this morning will say, God, when I stand before you, I want you to say to me, well done. Well done. Good servant. You have been faithful in little. Put up your hand. If you want him to say that to you, then whatever you have to do right now, whatever assignment given to you, do it while you are on earth. This is the only place. This is the only place that you can do what God has given and called you to do. Father, we recognize we can't do anything by ourselves. But we thank you that you live in us. And to the power of your excellent power that is within us, we can, because you live in us. Help us, O God, to finish what you call us to do. Help us, O God, to maintain and keep a good heart. Help us, O God, to be faithful in the little things. For one day when we stand before you, the joy in our heart is to hear you say, well done, good servant. You have been faithful in little things. And now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make you whole, spirit, soul, and body, and be preserved blameless at his coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you be energized and empowered with his empowering grace to be the best, to do the best, and to give your best, so that when he comes, he will say to you, well done, good servant, you have been faithful in little. Because God is faithful and he will able to do it. We seal this prayer and this benediction over your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.